It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. AARP has recently announced 14 organizations throughout the state that will receive 2023 Community Challenge grants to improve their communities and make them more aging friendly. And in fact, AARP, they've been doing this a few years. They've granted almost $400,000 to communities in Maine in the past 7 years. My guest is Jane Margeson. She is the communications director for AARP Maine, and she's here to discuss these grants and what they mean for the residents in these communities. It's a pretty impressive program. Hi, Jane. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Carol. It's always a pleasure.
It really is. AARP calls this a Livable Communities Initiative. What does that mean, and why is it so important?
It's a wonderful question, Carol, right off the bat. And the thing to always remember as part of the program that we're going to be discussing today is that there's a realization across the country that the population of the United States is rapidly aging. Here in Maine, we're known as being the oldest state. So this is something that we particularly take a focus on, and always in our work here in the state of Maine, we're always keeping that in the back of our minds. How can we help make communities better, help people age in place more easily and safely? How can we all work together in a collaborative effort to make this happen? And by 2030, one of every five people in the United States is going to be 65 or older. So when you think about that, that's really the genesis for this program. The AARP Age-Friendly States and Communities Initiative started in 2012, and it was really an effort to bring this into focus. And since then, many different states, including Maine — Maine has actually been a leader on age-friendly initiatives really from the start. We've had so many communities, large and small, who wanted to join the network, who wanted to take part in learning opportunities, and a way to collaborate with community leaders, with residents, with those who just, you know, had great ideas but didn't quite know how to kick them off. And it's just, there's so many opportunities, and I know we're going to get to some of them today, but the bottom line is this entire effort is around making people have a safer and happier experience as they age, no matter their age. It's great for kids, and it's great for older adults too.
One of the things I love about this is that older adults are encouraged to stay active, keep their minds active, exercise. But these grants and this initiative actually helps them do that by changing the communities they live in that make it easier to go for a walk or to access the library or something. You said something about people who may not know how to get started. So let's talk about the books that you have available for organizations. If they're thinking of something they want to do and they're kind of overwhelmed of where do we begin, tell me about the resources you have that can help them apply.
Oh, certainly. Well, the most livable communities are those that enable residents to thrive at every age and at every life stage. In other words, that's what Age Friendly is really all about. And the availability and quality of certain community features is what we've kind of drilled down to into this program. And we refer to them as the eight domains of livability. And as you mentioned, there's a whole kind of toolkit for each one of these eight domains of livability. And I'm just going to go through what those are, and then we can talk about them further as you like. But so one of them focuses on outdoor spaces and buildings. There may be improvements to be made at local parks. Maybe there's a town that doesn't have a park at all, or some kind of a common area for people to meet and walk their dogs, or, you know, whatever, something that makes it more accessible and exciting to be outside with one another. The second one is transportation. transportation. That's a huge problem in the state of Maine. There are a lot of issues associated with that, but that's another of these domains of livability. Housing, another big thing for Maine, affordable, meaningful, accessible housing. And again, this is with everyone's age in mind, whether they're younger or older adults. You just mentioned another one, social participation. That's so important for all of us to be socially active, to have friends, to have ways to stay engaged as we age, whatever that might mean, whatever our abilities might be or our interests. Respect and social inclusion, that really goes hand in hand with the last one, with social participation. But everyone wants to feel valued, and there are ways that we can do that through the age-friendly initiatives. There's work and civic engagement, communication and information. Sometimes people don't even know what's going on in their community. So if there are ways to help improve that, that's always a good thing. And finally, community and health services. What are the services that are available? How do we help people access those services? Are there services maybe that a community really needs that they don't have? How can we help them, initiate that objective for their own town?
That's a very comprehensive list. How does someone who's listening, and maybe they're part of an organization, they want a copy of those books? I'm assuming they're free.
Absolutely. Everything we're talking about is absolutely free. And what's wonderful is AARP has created these booklets that go along with each of those eight domains. We call them the Roadmap to Livability. And one of my favorites is the Community Listening Session Toolkit. The first thing you need to figure out is what do people need? What do people want? What do people like that they have that they want to see more of? And how do you construct a listening session that's going to really be effective and lead you down a path that's ultimately going to help you reach your goals for your town and community? That starts really with listening to one another. So we have a toolkit for that. But you asked how do people get a hold of these? So the easiest thing to do is send us an email, and that's at me@aarp.org. That's the easiest way to just simply send us an email and say, I heard Carol and Jane talking about this, and I'd really like some more information. And we're more than happy to connect with you. You can also call us toll free at 1-866-554-5380. Again, that's 1-866-554-5380.
And you'll just send them one or all of these books for people who are
Yeah.
interested in changing their communities.
Absolutely. First, we'll probably have a conversation just to make sure that you're really getting what you want and see how we can help you. But there's so many, I mean, really the sky is the limit and the number of things that you can do. It doesn't have to be overwhelming either. Some of the best programs and initiatives that we've seen are really what we call quick action projects, and they don't necessarily take a lot of time or take a lot of money, but they still have a very meaningful effect for your town.
I love that. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about some of the quick action and about some of the towns that have been helped by these grants. Jane, real quick, give me that phone number again.
Of course, that's 1-866-554-5380.
We will be giving it again throughout the show, so grab a pencil if you're interested. We'll be right back. Stay with us right after this. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk and AARP discussing the Livable Communities Initiative. And when we left, Jane, you were talking about these quick action grants that people can do, and sometimes the smallest, quickest things can make the biggest impact. Can you tell me what those are?
Absolutely. This is another program of AARP's, the Community Challenge Grant Project Program, which is just so wonderful because it does exactly what you just said, Carol, where it enables communities across the country to come up with ideas that we consider to be quick action projects, i.e. they're going to, if they receive funding for it from AARP, their commitment is to have that project completed within that same year. So we're not talking about a five-year, you know, multi-million dollar project. This is a smaller initiative, but no less impactful. And in the state of Maine, we had 14 communities and organizations who were awarded grants this year. This was just announced, and it's so exciting to see some of the initiatives that they're planning, and we're so happy to be able to help make that a reality. So if I may, I'll give you a couple of examples. For example, Age Friendly Sullivan, the grant will fund an automated external defibrillator, an AED, for the town's community building, which will be accessible to anyone using the facilities for exercise meetings or other activities. I mean, how great is that? So, you know, if you're having a health crisis, now you're actually going to have a way to help somebody as they're waiting for the ambulance to
arrive. That could
be
life-saving.
So important. Exactly. See what I mean? It's like the sky is the limit. You wouldn't necessarily think that that would fall into this age-friendly kind of idea, but it absolutely does. The city of Auburn, they're conducting walk audits to ensure intergenerational community design input for two main Department of Transportation-funded traffic and pedestrian safety modification projects. I mean, that's fantastic for everyone of every age. Whenever we talk about this, I always talk about how, you know, the safety of roads is so important for not only for drivers, but pedestrians, for the dad with a kid in a stroller, or somebody using a cane or a walker who needs a little extra time to cross a busy section of the road. I mean, all of this is part of it. So I love that they're doing these walk audits.
Well, it is true because we tell older people to get out and walk, but if they don't have a safe place to do it, maybe there aren't sidewalks or there's just too much traffic, it's very scary and very dangerous, especially if they're trying to get across the street and the light isn't long enough.
And
so
then
that's
our neighbors,
terrific.
It is. It's fabulous. And then our neighbors up in Caribou, here's another wonderful example. They're working with Cary Medical Center and Age Friendly Caribou, and they're designing a digital toolkit will be created to inform residents about elder abuse and engage them in its prevention, with the additional aim of sharing that toolkit with other Maine communities. So I love that. They're creating something that then can serve as a model for others to follow. And that actually, that concept is a big part of what it means to be an age-friendly community. Let's start with projects that actually others can use and learn from and maybe expand upon depending on what the initiative might be. And I'll mention one other for you, Carol. The Millinocket Memorial Library is putting in solar-powered lighting that's going to be installed along a popular downtown walking trail. So it increases safety and accessibility, especially for older walkers. Wonderful.
And those solar lights are terrific. Most of us probably have seen them or have them around our own walkways in our homes or in the garden, and they do throw off a lot of light.
Well, they do. And again, all of these are considered quick action projects, and the commitment from all of the communities we just mentioned, along with the others leading up to the 14 in Maine, is that they will be completed by the end of November of this year.
And one of the great things is that even if a community hasn't received a grant, they're still able to maybe implement some of this because other communities share. I do love that whole community and statewide collaboration.
That's exactly right. It's all about collaboration. None of this is designed or would even work with just one person or two people saying, this is what we want to do. This is what we think. It's fine to come with your ideas, but it's got to be a collaborative effort for it to be successful. You need your, you know, municipal representatives. You need your community leaders. You need people who live there, who maybe have lived in the community for decades and who have seen a lot and know a lot and have a lot to share. That's what it's all about, is bringing all of that together in a collaborative manner.
The Blue Hill Heritage Trust is doing something terrific. They're doing a viewing platform on the walking path and a ramp that allows for easy access to the shore. That must be very exciting for the residents who love the water, want to see the water, but have really struggle getting down there.
Yeah, exactly. And that fits into so many of those domains of livability that we mentioned earlier. You're going to have more social interaction, you're going to have engagement, you're improving the look and feel of your town, you know, that public spaces piece that we talked about. It's all part of that. And honestly, I've never, in the many years that I've worked for ERP, honestly, I've never seen a bad idea come out of, you know, the age-friendly network, because it's all based on people thinking through and listening to one another and using our toolkits, which are just really helpful starting points. And the process of how you get from A to Z becomes such a wonderful way for people to share ideas and come together to make them a reality, rather than into this kind of turf war situation, which, you know, can happen in other things. That's not the case here. It's all about collaboration.
One of my favorite ideas is in Chelsea. Age Friendly Chelsea is the group. A donated bus will be converted into an accessible greenhouse, which will be part of a community garden. And the exterior of the bus will be decorated with tiles, so it doubles as art installation. How creative is that?
That's so great. It's so wonderful. Over the years, we've seen a lot of gardening ideas, including you know, boxes for gardeners that are at different levels. So if somebody might happen to be in a wheelchair, they can absolutely take part in the gardening effort, or it's good for kids, et cetera, et cetera. But I have to say, I've not heard about a bus before, and I love this. And I love the idea that it's also an art installation, because then you're going to be attracting people to it, saying, what's going on over there? I mean, I cannot wait to see this bus.
And it addresses another sad reality of food insecurity and malnutrition. It's very difficult if you're eating on a budget to buy a green pepper, you know, having a garden near you, because they're expensive, especially if you want to go organic because you're worried about pesticides. They can be $3. So having that community garden to help older adults and everyone, children included, eat healthier is critical. That will make a huge difference to
you're
the community.
You're absolutely right. Yes, you're absolutely right. And so many of the projects that we're talking about are very intergenerational. You're going to have a whole families getting involved. And it's just terrific. We've even heard of other communities where the local high school has gotten involved. And there's one in particular where a high school student designed the logo for that age-friendly community. So all of this just pulls it together in such a beautiful way. And it's truly inspiring when you see these ideas come across.
Well, and that commonality also fosters an understanding of different ages and a mutual respect. So that's a wonderful side effect as well. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this. As I promised, Jane, give that phone number one more time.
Happy to. It's 1-866-554-5380.
We will be right back right after this. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. There are a couple of other towns that are doing really amazing things with the grants that they got. Jane, tell me about Saco.
Yes, Saco, they're doing a wonderful project. Their project provides a flexible shuttle service as a transportation option for older residents in the region. So that's going to help them shop for groceries, attend social events, get to their medical appointments, run errands. You know, it's just, again, very forward thinking about something that local residents really need that will honestly benefit the whole family.
It really does, because if someone's working and they can't take mom or dad someplace, they would have to either take time off or the person just couldn't go. So that is very helpful. Transportation is such a huge issue in the state being so rural. And then the town of Berwick is doing something, Berwick for a Lifetime, that I thought was terrific, the Handy Helper Tool Collection. Talk to me about that.
Oh, who among us doesn't love our DIY projects? And it can be so daunting trying to figure out what tool you need for the job. I love this initiative. The town of Berwick is creating a Handy Helper Tool Collection to enable residents to try out tools for everyday activities and household chores. And so the display is going to introduce residents to new products before they actually make their purchases. So isn't that wonderful? I just love that idea.
I do too. How many of us have bought things thinking that they're going to work well and then they don't, and then we have it. And I often just don't send things back because that's also a hassle. So being able to try out is such a great idea. Before we're out of time, let's talk about how someone, an organization who's listening, can get involved in this, that they can actually apply for one of these. I know it's over for this year, but there's a lot that goes into it, so they should start now. Talk to me about the application process.
Oh, certainly. Well, the ARP Community Challenge Grant process is it'll start up again about mid-January in 2024, and it usually is open for about a three-month period. And during that three-month period, towns and organizations are invited to apply for a grant from AARP. And the application, it'll seem a little lengthy, but it's actually very easy to complete online. There are a lot of boxes to check and a place for you to put in the description of your idea. But the website that we use is so helpful because there are sample grant applications for you to look at, project examples, guidance about summaries and what we call deliverables, you know, how are you actually, what is it that your project is really going to achieve? What are you really hoping to enable your community to do from this?
And so, what is that website? I'm sorry, what is that website?
Yeah, no problem. It's aarp.org/livable-communities.
So that's pretty easy.
And the assessment criteria, we look at impact, execution, and innovation. And there's a wonderful way that we look at all of the projects that come in. And like everything else, there's the grant selection process is really a panel of experts on aging, community development, livable communities. It's, you know, each panel for each state is probably going to look a little bit different, but it's not just one person deciding on, you know, how this is going to work. It's a whole panel, and people really spend a lot of time. Those panelists are wonderful. They really take in consideration everything that they possibly can to help as many communities as possible with their projects.
And the grants can be thousands of dollars for a community.
They can, depending on what your dreams are. I mean, I would encourage anybody who's listening who thinks, you know, maybe we could do something next year. That's great. Get started now. You know, take a look at the projects that are being awarded and what those applications look like. And maybe you can make some headway before you even get to next year. And you can learn from other communities that have been successful in getting some of these grant dollars to push their projects forward.
And the books that are available to help someone get started, can they get those on that website as well?
I believe that they can. There's a lot of information there. And if you need something that you're not seeing or you have a question, you know, just let us know. As I said, you can reach out to us by email at me@aarp.org. That's our general mailbox. We check it every single day, many times a day, actually. So that's me@aarp.org, or you can call our toll-free number at 1-866-554-5380.
Jane, this has been great information. Thank you so much for coming on and discussing this. Again, if you're interested, email them at Maine, M-E, me@aarp.org, me@aarp.org. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk. Thank you so much for listening.